According to our next guest, the University of Wisconsin System's mission statement has some serious flaws. He will explain why he says the Wisconsin idea is not unique, does not tolerate conservative viewpoints, and is committed to ideology instead of truth. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we will welcome your questions and views on this for him. What does the Wisconsin idea mean to you? Do you see it as something sacred and something that should be left alone? Or do you think it should and could be changed? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You know, I should mention, and I failed to in our first half hour, I usually always do when we are talking about issues, including budget issues that affect the University of Wisconsin. I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension, and these issues affect me. Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, so these issues affect Wisconsin Public Radio as well. All right. That being said, let me welcome our guest. Rick Essenberg is an adjunct professor of law at Marquette University, president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and he is also an occasional columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His recent piece is titled, "Let's Have a Real Debate Over the UW System's Work and Needs." Good morning.
Good morning.
So, aren't we having a real debate about the UW System's work and needs?
You know, I think it's a debate in which people tend to occupy extreme positions. And so two issues have come up. First of all, there was this tinkering around with the language that is in the statutes regarding the mission of the University of Wisconsin. And people acted as if, you know, Governor Walker was proposing to turn the UW into a trade school or a technical school. And I don't think there was any evidence for that. The other debate is, of course, about the proposed reduction in public support, that tax dollar support for the University of Wisconsin. And I certainly don't mean to minimize that, nor do I necessarily endorse it. I'm not necessarily in favor of it. On the other hand, it's not existential. It's about 2.5% of the university's operating budget in any particular year. And I do understand that, you know, people can argue that the impact is a little bit more significant than that would suggest because, you know, the university has dedicated funds. You know, part of the budget might include athletic revenue and, you know, that has to go for a certain purpose. But it's not existential. And it seems to me that if you want to be, and I know that your prior guest is, you know, very committed to having the University of Wisconsin being a public university, then you have to deal with public responsiveness. And when the budget is tight, it's likely that you're going to get cut. And the other point that I was making in my piece is that if you become an institution, which I think the University of Wisconsin has, and it's not unique among major American universities, that really doesn't value ideological diversity and comes to be seen as aligned with one half of the political spectrum, that's going to have predictable and unavoidable consequences if you're a public university, because, you know, half of the public is perhaps not going to be particularly happy with the way you're managing yourself. And to them, the idea of a public university is not, well, we give you money and we just let you go and do whatever you want to, and we don't call for accountability, or we don't call for balance or even handedness. And I think that to some extent, the University of Wisconsin has caused its own problems. It complains that the Republicans have somehow declared war on the University of Wisconsin. I don't think that's true. But I think that there's also a very plausible argument that the University of Wisconsin has declared war on Republicans, and to some extent is just reaping the whirlwind of that.
I will definitely follow up with you on that after our newscast, but I wanted to ask you in the couple of minutes we have before our news, while you weren't set up to be a debate or a counterpoint to our previous guest, what is your reaction to the proposal that the UW system become a public authority without the strict state oversight, that there would be UW regents oversight? Do you think the UW should be given this autonomy?
Well, you know, the university, it was, I guess the UW, about, low 80%? Somewhere a bit over 80% of its budget now comes from, you know, non-tax revenue. It seems to me that if I were the University of Wisconsin, I guess my view might be, since I, for the most part, am funded by, you know, sources other than government, that I would want to have some substantial autonomy. I'm not necessarily suggesting that the legislature shouldn't have some say in the management of the University of Wisconsin, perhaps substantial representation on authority. But you know, if I were the UW, I'd say, look, you know, the money is coming from someplace else, so we ought to be permitted to have a greater degree of autonomy in our administration.
Well, let's check our news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll talk a little bit more about our guests' concerns over the University of Wisconsin's mission and the Wisconsin idea, and talk more about his what he just said, that maybe the University of Wisconsin has declared war on Republicans rather than vice versa. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Rick Essenberg during this half hour. He's an adjunct professor of law at Marquette University, president and general counsel of the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, and an occasional columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And we are talking with him about his recent piece, his recent column, Let's Have a Real Debate Over the UW System's Work and Needs. We have posted that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. In it, he talks about why the Wisconsin idea is not unique, does not tolerate conservative viewpoints, and is committed to more to ideology instead of the search for the truth. So, Rick Essenberg, the Wisconsin idea, why do you say it's not unique to the state of Wisconsin?
Well, it may have been unique 100 years ago when it was more than 100 years ago when it was first proposed. But, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in this debate is that people will say different things when you ask them what the Wisconsin idea means. Someone will say that, well, this means that the university should try to conduct research that benefits the public, or should try to reach out and be, you know, involved in the community in various ways. And that may have been unique in the late 19th century, but it's not really unique anymore. It doesn't distinguish the University of Wisconsin from any place else. Some people will say, there was a column in the Journal Sentinel, I think, last week, that, well, this is really about the search for truth, right, and about sifting and winnowing, right? This is the plaque, the famous plaque on Bascom Hall, the statement of the Board of Regents in 1894 when they considered disciplining Richard Ely. And that also isn't particularly unique, and I don't think anybody is suggesting that that the university, you know, not search for the truth. Now, I would argue that the university itself has turned its back on that aspect of the Wisconsin idea, if you believe that's what it is, because the University of Wisconsin, like other universities, it's not unique in this sense, has, through a long process which is facilitated by shared governance and tenure, has sort of built a faculty that replicates itself. It has a particular ideological perspective. It doesn't value intellectual diversity. I know a law professor once told me that my colleagues think that the idea of a diversity is to hire people who have gone to the same schools, had the same jobs, think the same way, but look different. And, you know, so you have a situation at the UW where, you know, for example, you have embedded think tanks in the university that are avowedly left-wing research centers, right? The Center on Wisconsin Strategy, the Havens Center, we could go on and on. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with a research organization having a perspective, as Cowles calls it, having, you know, being values laden. I think that's fine. I run an organization like that. But you can't imagine that the University of Wisconsin would ever countenance or contemplate having such an organization that had, you know, a conservative or libertarian focus. And when you do that, you know, when you allow yourself to become sort of conformist and homogenous with respect to your intellectual perspectives, and I realize that this applies more to the social sciences and the humanities and law than it does to the hard sciences, then it's hard for you to present yourself to the public as an institution which is sort of committed to, you know, a search for the truth no matter where it leads.
Let me jump in.
The public is smarter than that.
Because we have John on Facebook who says, I think he is asking for some kind of affirmative action for hiring conservative professors or professors with conservative viewpoints. Is that what you're doing?
No, I'm not necessarily asking for affirmative action, although, quite frankly, you know, if the university would apply the same standards for diversity to intellectual diversity as it does to, you know, racial diversity, you know, it would conclude that it has a crisis in its faculty. But I don't think that it ought to do, you know, I'm not a proponent, as you might imagine, of affirmative action in the racial area, and so I'm not in the hiring of faculty either. But I think the university has to understand that it has a problem. It has to understand that there's no one of us is free of confirmation bias, and that when you're constantly surrounded with people who think like you, and you have an accepted a set of presumptions about, you know, what reasonable people believe and don't believe, that that you have to make an intentional effort to get beyond that and understand that there are other perspectives, and that perhaps your intellectual efforts will be benefited by including people who have those differing perspectives.
Adam on Facebook says, universities should not value some kinds of diversity of ideas. He says, for example, climate change is real. Valuing the opposite idea shouldn't happen. If conservatives don't like that, they should pick up a science book.
Well, I mean, that's sort of a typical and I think sort of weak and intellectually lazy response, and that is to say that well, everybody that disagrees with me is stupid, and their position is wrong. I don't want to get into climate change. I mean, you know, my own view is that, you know, climate change is real, although there is a legitimate debate about whether some of the more extreme views of it are actually correct. But you know, that's not what I'm talking about here. I mean, no serious person would ever say that, you know, classical economics or the perspective that would be offered to the law school by, you know, scholars like Randy Barnett and other people, that Friedrich Hayek and Milton Friedman are sort of charlatans. I mean, if you believe that, then you need to pick up a book.
Let's go to Matt in Janesville. Hello, Matt.
Hi. Thank you for allowing me on. I have a very similar question as to the last Facebook comment. When, you know, the Conservative Party seems to ally itself with the ideas of, you know, trickle-down economics, climate change denial, and things like that, which, as anyone knows, are all patently false. So at what point should we keep teaching things that are wrong, you know, just to appease people? Should we be teaching alchemy and chemistry? Should we be teaching magic and physics? You know, are these all things that we should continue going? If not, our fault that people are believing things that are ridiculous.
Well, I think your caller is a particular is a great example of the type of confirmation bias that happens. Everybody doesn't know that those things are false. I mean, first of all, to use the term trickle-down economics is a distortion of supply-side and Austrian economics. It doesn't believe that things trickle down. That's a mischaracterization and a slur that's applied to it. Climate change is real, yeah, but there is a debate about the efficacy of certain climate change models and the extent to which certain proposed policy solutions will actually make a difference. I mean, none of these are sort of the simple monochromatic one-sided issues that I think that at least what the caller said suggests that they are. And the fact that he would say that, I would suggest to him that he read a little bit more because I don't believe that people who disagree with me are, benighted and stupid and always wrong. I understand, what the perspective of the other side is and why reasonable and intelligent people would think that way. And I think I would invite, people like the caller to consider the possibility that the other side does have something to say. And I think most reasonable, intelligent, informed people that I know do believe that.
Joan in Eau Claire is with us. Hello, Joan.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I would suggest that with $300 million proposed cuts to the UW system, that the UW system is not, in fact, waging war against the Republicans, but the other way around. That's my opinion, and thank you for letting me speak.
A reaction to that?
Well, I think that it is. I understand why people would argue that cutting the appropriation to the UW by $150 million each year is not a good idea. As I said at the outset, I'm not sure that it's a good idea. I'm fairly certain that it isn't existential. It's not declaring war on the University of Wisconsin. It's asking the University of Wisconsin in a tight budget year to make a sacrifice. Now, maybe that sacrifice is too much. I don't know. I don't take any position on that. My point was that we ought not to act like the sky is falling, and then we ought to have a reasonable debate about whether or not the University of Wisconsin should be asked to take a cut like that, keeping two things in mind. First, this is about 2.5% of the university's operating budget, a little bit higher percentage of its uncommitted funds. And the University of Wisconsin's budget has gone up. If you look over the last 15, 20 years, the University of Wisconsin's annual budget has climbed steadily, well above the rate of inflation. And so, if we're going to have an intelligent debate about budget cuts, we can't just look at the fact that, well, this is $150 million less than you got last year, and therefore that must be a crisis. We also have to look at where the funding for the University of Wisconsin has gone over the last 20 years. And the University of Wisconsin is not an institution that has been deprived of money. Its public funding hasn't gone up significantly, but its total revenue has.
And I'm afraid we have less than a minute to go. Do you think that the UW should change its mission as was being drafted in the state budget and remove the search for the truth and instead insert meet the state's workforce needs?
Well, first of all, I'm not a guy that really gets into mission statements. Mm-hmm. I kind of think that a lot of that stuff is just verbiage. I wouldn't change it. I don't think the changes were intended to have this significant effect. I don't think that they were saying to the university, don't search for the truth or search for falsity or anything like that. But, I also don't think that I'd bother to change it either. What I would do is I'd try to hold the university to it.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Rick Essenberg is an adjunct professor of law at Marquette University. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Kayla Blado, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing these programs. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.